go before the Lord in prayer. Thankful for the snow and the reminder that it gives us of the precious blood of Christ and the access we have now to the Father to bring our burdens before Him and to call on His name. And so grateful for that this morning. If you will, be in prayer for our brother Scotty Green, our sister Sheila Payne, Cindy Cook's dad this morning. Just some individuals that need God's mercies and grace right now in a particular way. And pray that we're ready to hear what the living God has to speak to us. I'm glad that while we can't be present on Chipley Ford Road, we can gather together, not only our church family, but all those who regularly gather with us on Sunday morning as well, to open the word of the living God and hear Him speak. Pray with me this morning. Father in heaven, thank You for this day. Lord, thank You for technology that enables us to gather as the people of God and to worship You, to magnify Your name, to call on You. Lord, we do that not only for ourselves as we gather, Lord, but particularly for Sheila and Scotty and Cindy Cook's dad. Lord, we pray whatever grace is needed right now that You would supply it. But Lord, we come with open hearts to hear the living God speak. And Lord, I'm thankful again, the word that You've given me to share this morning. Lord, I pray that my words would not fall on the ground, but Lord, they find hearing hearts that are ready to hear You speak. We ask now that You guide us, Spirit of God, into all truth, and it's in Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, again, this morning, it's good to see you. I'm in Psalm 19. Have you found it? Because I hope you have. Psalm 19. We're going to begin this morning our study of theological essentials, those fundamental faith principles that we believe, those truths that are essential for the Christian life. It's our study for the year. We've done some introductory things, but now we're going to begin today the first doctrine that we want to consider. It's the doctrine of revelation. It's the belief that God is speaking to us. He is revealing things to us, things about Himself, things about us, things about this world we presently live in and the world that is to come. And that word that He speaks in revelation comes to us in a variety of ways. It's highlighted right here in Psalm 19. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about that word, how it's inspired, it's inerrant, and it's infallible. And all those are important truths to know about the doctrine of revelation. And we'll take time each week walking through that. But today, we just want to affirm this one thing. God speaks. Shh. Do you hear Him? Because He's speaking to us. He's speaking to us in two primary ways this morning is what Psalm 19 highlights for us. David highlights for this, and he wants you to realize God is there and He is not silent. Your neighbor may not recognize it, but God is there speaking to him as well. And He is not silent. Your boss, God is speaking to him and He is not silent. And I need this. They need this. We all need to hear God speak. The God who made us is speaking to us, and He's trying to reveal to us the truth that we need to navigate life. His heavenly wisdom, He wants to speak to us here on earth so that you and I know how to navigate life on earth. And it's His word that is essential. And so the God that made you and made me wants to impact us with that truth. And it's amazing how David says He speaks to us. Two primary ways. First, the world God made, and the word He has spoken. The world God made is speaking a general revelation about God. The word God speaks is a specific revelation. And David highlights that in this psalm. And then he says, this is why it's important. This is why we need to listen. This is why we need to incline our ear. The world is a general revelation from God. The world, the universe, everything you and I see, the heavens, David says, declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge, and there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, that their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. David is saying, the God who made all things around us He is speaking to us. The heavens are declaring the firmament. That means the stars, the Milky Way, what you and I look up at night and see, that those stars flung from his fingertips. They're speaking to you and they're speaking to me. I can imagine David walking out and looking up, and he didn't have the Hubble telescope. He didn't have all the modern technology that tells us the vast universe that's out there, the Milky Way, and then beyond that, when you stop and imagine just how awesome that is. And that is God speaking to you, and he's speaking to me. The creation is testifying. It's telling us that there's a glorious God out there who has made all things. It's a message that never ends. Day unto day, night unto night, 24/7, God is speaking. He's saying, I am an all-powerful God. Think about that for a moment. That creation, when you walk out tonight and you look up at the starry sky and you look and you see all of it, God is speaking. Say, I'm a powerful God that made this, and I made you. In fact, what's amazing, you look up and you see the seasons that are reflected in those constellations that appear at different times of the year and move through the sky. What's amazing is God is saying, I'm a good God with order and purpose. And I supply those seasons when the rain falls and when I provide for this little ball that we are standing on called Earth. He is a faithful God, providing, keeping the sun at just the right distance from us so it doesn't scorch the earth, and not too far away, the earth doesn't drift so that we don't freeze. It's amazing, this God. I wonder who he is. I wonder if he has a name. Paul says over in the book of Romans, that in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, that means his power, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. God is speaking to the entire world and showing them just how powerful he is. Now, granted, we're not always listening to that, but he is speaking. And what's fascinating, it says that message runs all throughout the world. There's no speech nor language, verse 3, where their voice is not heard. In other words, there's no tribe, there's no ethne, there's no nation on this globe that may speak a different speech or language where the word of God, the voice of God spoken through the world is not heard. God is speaking to everyone this morning. And whether they're acknowledging that and surrendering to that, well, that's what the invitation is, actually. The invitation is to acknowledge him. And so David is using this as a picture for us. He says, in fact, the sun, watch this now, the line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. He imagines the sun that runs its course in the sky. And everywhere where that sun goes down, he has set it as a tabernacle for the sun. That sun goes out and the rays of the sun touch us. And as that happens, God is speaking to us, and he's touching us, and he's saying, I'm here and I'm not silent. But the question then is, do people listen? Do they listen to what God is going to say? And we know that they don't. We know that we didn't always listen. But praise the Lord, the Spirit of God spoke to our hearts and helped us to realize there's someone trying to get your attention and you need to listen to him. And he's got a wonderful, glorious, amazing message to speak to you. But creation, we have this unmistakable, unceasing, unspoken, universal revelation of a glorious God being given to us, a God with eternal power. And while man tries to suppress that light and will not acknowledge it, the bridegroom runs his course. He comes out of his chamber and he runs that course just like the sun does from one end of the heavens to the other. And everyone on the face of the earth hears that message that there is a God. That's just the general revelation. It's a general revelation for all the general public, for everyone to hear. But God also has a special or a specific revelation that he wants to communicate to us. And it's not through the world, but it's actually through his word. And that's the second half of Psalm 19. When David highlights and tells us some unique things about the word of God. The God who speaks tells us he's there. He is present. He tells us he's powerful. But the scriptures reveal what kind of God he is. And frankly, why we should want to have a relationship with him. Why we should want to listen to what God has to say. David uses like six descriptions here about the word of God in verses 7 down through verse 9. He has these couplets, these pairs of phrases that talk about the word that God speaks. And he uses different nouns to describe the word of God. And then he speaks about, what God, that word does to us each time. It does something in our life. And so you have to ask yourself this question, that God, as I look outside tonight, as I look out there, when the sun finally peeks through those clouds and hopefully starts melting some of this ice and snow, that God that's speaking to me, am I listening to what he has to say? Well, I need to get his special revelation, which is found in the word. Now, we know, listen, God has spoken in creation. He's spoken in the canon, that is the word, and he's spoken through Christ. But the canon in Christ, the canon is the written word. Christ is the living word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So we're going to focus on the specific revelation, the Word of God that's written, because that's what focuses on. But we also know God has also spoken to us in Christ, the living Word. And Jesus said, by the way, all these scriptures point to who? To me. Fascinating. God is speaking to us. Well, here's a specific revelation that he gave us in the written word. David says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We all need that. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. These six descriptions, David says, about God's word, a different name for God's word and what it's like and what it does, it calls us to pay attention. So do I want God to change my life? I pray you do pay attention. But if you don't, then you better pay closer attention because we all need to hear what God is saying. First, he says that the law is perfect. It's complete. It's comprehensive. It covers everything. This is God's Torah when David was referring to it. His direct teaching and his instruction. It's lacking in nothing. It is the sum total of all that we need to hear. That we don't need any improvement, any additions to it. It is so perfect that it can transform the inner person, your soul. Praise God this morning. When I open the word of God, the specific revelation, that word can convert my life. That's the idea of what God's word does. I think that's fascinating. When you get over to Peter, it talks about the word that was planted into your heart or into your life and gave you and I life. That's what the word of God does. It is perfect, complete, nothing else needed, and it converts us. It changes us from something we were to something God wants us to be. Praise the Lord. That's the story of salvation. We were wretched sinners. We heard the word which converted us and made us God's righteous children. Praise the Lord for that this morning. Wouldn't you want your life to be converted? I don't know what mess you've been in, but God can change and convert my life. And he converts my life by changing me right here in my innermost being, in my soul. Well, he also says that the testimony is true. It is truthful or sure. You see that word there. In the Hebrew, the idea is that it is a trustworthy, a truthful source. Over in the book of Exodus, in chapter 25, in verse 21, God's word was considered his testimony, his sure word. It was the witness of God. You went to the tent of meeting to meet with God, and the word came there. And the amazing thing is, this sure word from God makes the wise the simple. This word that is spoken gives me the wisdom that I need. You know, Paul said this over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when he speaks there, and we'll see that in the coming weeks, when he talks about the inspiration of God. But before even talking about the inspiration of God, this word that God breathes to us, he told Timothy, these scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. And that's what it says here. The simple man, that's me. I don't have all the answers. But God's word gives me the wisdom because it is sure. It is truthful. It is unwavering. It is not fallible. It will never guide me the wrong way. It's a sure word. And I need that. You need that. That's why I would open the word and hear him speak. Proverbs would say that over in chapter 2. The importance of opening the word to get wise principles for daily living. Also, these precepts that God gives us, here's a different word David used, the statutes of the Lord in verse 8 are right, rejoicing the heart. You see, when they're right, just think about that. A righteous God is going to tell us the right way to live. He's going to give us detailed instruction so that we can walk in righteous paths. That's what a good shepherd will do. In fact, it tells us how to do the right things. Just think of the Ten Commandments. That's a straight rule, a plumb line for life that everyone should realize that this is how we should live. I want to live in a society where people don't lie, they don't kill, they don't steal, they don't covet. I want to live in that kind of world. Well, God's rule, God's principle comes to us, and his precepts, his statutes that he gives us, they are all right. And when you live right, I love what it says here, there's rejoicing in the heart. To know I'm living, doing right by the one who made me. There's joy that'll fill your heart. I'll tell you why people are so miserable, because they're not living right. People are so miserable and they don't have joy because they're not rightly oriented on the God who made them, the righteous God who reigns and rules and has given us, listen, this word to help us to live right. But the moment we order our life right and start walking down those righteous paths, you will rejoice. You will rejoice and find joy and not grief. And sadly, that's what many people experience today. But that's why I want to open the word. That's why I want to hear God speak. Show me the right way. Show me. I'm going down the wrong path. I'm going to the left or to the right. No, show me, shepherd, the right path. Speak to me. It's God's statutes that do that. Here's number four. Here it is, the second half of verse 8. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The commandment of the Lord. No dark mystery here, right? It is just the simple, clear, illuminating truth from God's word. God commands us. He gives us commandments. And those are things, listen, that are for our good. It's not just don't do something. It's also do something. And that do something is hear God speak and obey him. Now, if you want to write something in the margin of your Bible, since it says it illumines or enlightens the eyes, you and I can't see straight without light. We need light to walk, to navigate. Think about this. Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet. It illumines my daily steps. Got to make a decision today? I wonder what step I'll make. Does God's word give me any insight? The decision I need to make may be related to my job, maybe related to a relationship, maybe the way I'm relating to my spouse or to my parents. Does God's word speak to me? Does it illumine my step of, because it's also going to illumine the path. It's a light for the pathway, the general direction we need to go. Each step down the way, God's word shows us. Hey, take this next step. And by the way, this is the direction you need to go in. It illumines my steps. It illumines my feet and my path. And so if you're making a decision, you say, it's not a significant decision. No, I don't really need the wisdom of God. I would encourage you, open the word, and hear God speak. Allow God to develop and cultivate that habit in your heart, that you are inclined, God, you have a word for me today. That's why we open the word every morning. Remember, I always encourage you, there's 31 Proverbs, to read the wisdom for the day, to read the proverb of the day and glean some wisdom. You do that over your life and it just becomes a wise man walking in the right ways and whose eyes are illumined, enlightened, and you know the way to go. Here's the fifth one, the fear of the Lord. That's an interesting way to describe the word of God. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It's an unusual name for scripture. What it is, I think, is a reminder of the orientation of our heart, and it needs to be in reverence of God. In fact, what's fascinating, over in 1 Kings, when God invited Solomon to ask anything of him, anything he wanted, Solomon, you can ask anything of me and I'll give it to you. Solomon asked for this. We always hear him say he asked for holiness. What he asked for literally in the Hebrew was for a hearing heart. He asked for a hearing heart, a heart that would listen to what God had to say. And God certainly blessed him and gave him that. In fact, that's what he teaches over in the book of Proverbs about having a hearing heart. And I need that. That is the most, you see, the key to a hearing heart is fearing God. Do you fear God? Do you reverence him? You see, it's an orientation. It's not like I cower in fear. No. I reverence. He's God. I'm not. I need to hear what he's going to say to me. I need his truth. I need his light. He knows what I need. This word, God, I believe it will transform my life. And the amazing thing is when we reverence that word, we reverence that God, it stands forever. No need for a contemporary update. We don't need version 16.3. No. What it is permanently relevant and eternally true. And that word, listen, you and I should reverence him. Finally, notice this. Six, the judgments are sure. They are, as it says here, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They are sure. They are stable. God's decisions, his verdicts. There's no reason you and I need to appeal in any way because the word of God has spoken to us and I can take it to the bank. They are going to be true and righteous. A righteous judge is going to tell me the right thing. They are true or sure, reliable. I can make it a part of my life. Now stop and consider. Think about this. We've said six things about the word of God. The word that has been spoken, the special revelation that has come to us. How valuable is that to you and me? And why does God give us that word? Why does he give us that word? It's because of what he says in the next couple of verses. We need this word because we need it to transform our life. We need God's word. And he says, listen, these are more to be desired than gold. Yes, than fine gold. They are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. In other words, there is an infinite value to us hearing the word of God. It is more, gold's going up, approaching $4,000 or something. The market's going crazy. Silver's going up to $100. What's happening in the economy? I don't know. My economy's right here in this word. The value is right here in this word. That this is more valuable than a piece of gold. In fact, this right here that we opened this morning, I hope it has been sweeter to you. Than honey. I've got my bees outside. I hope they're going to make it through this cold weather. Man, they produce, you know, about 13 quarts every summer, and we harvest that, and it's nothing like going in and getting some sweet honey. Oh, it's sweet. It's good in my tea, my hot tea. The word of God should be like that for you and me. When we nibble on it and get us a spoonful, it's sweet. Oh, and the value, because it is valuable, not just for this life, but you want to talk about an investment. It's an investment that changes my eternal life, my destiny. That's valuable. And it's sweeter to me. Think about this, church. I love to gather. I wish we could gather today and have a fellowship dinner. Somebody brings a banana pudding. And we would just, that'd be good. But see, every Sunday morning when we gather, The best meal that we share in is opening the Word of God. The Word that God speaks to us, it is sweeter than honey, and it's more desirable than gold. Is that your disposition when you come to hear the Word of God? That's what David says it should be for you. Now, why does God speak, and why is it so valuable, and why is it so important, and why will it satisfy the hunger of your heart this morning? Well, because what he says in verse 11. You see, this revelation from God is given because of our sinfulness. It's given because we need to be changed. It's given because we need to be converted. Why does God speak? Because he's warning us we're not doing what we ought to do. He's warning us we're on the wrong pathway. He's warning us that there's another choice we need to make. And that choice is actually an invitation to experience a reward, to experience something that's rewarding in your life. You know, over in Proverbs 13:13, you can write that in the margin of your Bible. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 13:13, it says that he who despises the word will be destroyed or will be in debt. You can read it either way in the Hebrew. Well, think about that. If I despise what God says, then judgment's coming and there'll be destruction. Oftentimes when people don't heed the counsel of God, bad things happen. But the second half of that proverb, Proverbs 13:13, says, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. That's what David is saying right here. Verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Do you want to be rewarded today? Walk by faith. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing what? The word of God. God's speaking to me in all of creation. There's a mighty God who's made all of this. His power is demonstrated. He is a person, not just a force. And I know that because he's speaking a word to me, just as I'm speaking to you through this screen. It's amazing. God is speaking to us, and he's warning us because he wants to reward us. Everyone who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Are you being rewarded today? By listening to what God has to say. Now, what he does, how does he do that? Well, he rebukes our sin. He warns us. He says, you're on the wrong path. We're going to see this when we get to the inspiration of the Word of God, how it corrects us and exhorts us to get on the right path. Well, Paul will say the same thing over there to Timothy. He reveals sin. Notice this in verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Can anybody discern all of his errors? Well, when you study God's word, what you realize is sometimes we're too close to the forest. We can't see the trees. We don't even realize how bad we are. We don't even realize sometimes just how dark our hearts are. But you know what? The scripture, it illumines that. It reveals that. It reveals the hidden faults. Why? Beloved, so we can be forgiven. So we can confess them, repent, God have mercy. I don't want to be like that, Lord. And we can experience grace and mercy that changes us. And that is what scripture does. It is a powerful restraint that prevents us from continuing down that path. The word of God informs my mind. It says, this is how you should live. This is how you should live. No longer as in sin, as a slave to sin, but praise the Lord, set free in Christ. And why? Because the word will help us not only to rebuke us in our sin and warn us, to reveal the sin, the errors of our ways, but it will also keep us back. It will help restrain us. Notice what he says in verse 13. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. You so. In humility, God, I don't want to be led by my carnal heart, my fleshly heart, my fleshly desires. God, your word, I want it to not allow those things to have dominion, to reign and rule anymore. I want the righteous scepter of the righteous king ruling. Well, that comes through his righteous word, his commandments. I want his word to guide me. That's what helps me to be blameless. That's what helps me to be innocent of great transgressions. You see, Sometimes there's secret sins we're not even aware of. A path you may be going down, you don't even see it, but it's going to lead to a great transgression if you don't change this morning. If you and I don't listen to what God has to say to us and change course, which is called repentance. It's repenting from sin. God is revealing this. He's illumining this. Why? Because he doesn't want us to suffer. He doesn't want us to experience anything bad. He wants you. He wants me. He wants our families. Listen, he wants us to experience the joy of walking in right relationship with him on the right paths. So what do? Well, you close in prayer, just as David did. Lord, let the words of my mouth, Lord, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you in your sight. You're my strength and my redeemer. A simple prayer to pray. God, the things that come out of my mouth is a reflection of what's in my heart. That's why I need to put his words that come into my heart, so that what comes out of my heart is his words. I want that truth to transform me. That's why we have to have a hearing heart. Let the words that come out of my heart, Lord, let them be acceptable to you, Lord. And the things I think about, my meditations, the things I contemplate, the things I'm considering to do, the things I'm thinking about going down this path or that path, Lord, may that be guided by your word today. That special revelation, that specific revelation that reveals to me there's a righteous God that wants me to live right. His son makes that possible, the living word. But today, am I inclined, are you inclined to hear the living God speak? If you're not, it just starts with one decision. God, today, help that to be my decision, my desire. Cultivate that within me. Part of the way we cultivate that, listen, let me encourage you, every day, open the word, develop that habit. Not just for a 5-minute Bible study, a 10-minute, take that word with you through the day so that you're inclined to hear what God has to say. And then when you have to make a decision, pause, pray, lay it before the Lord. God, I pray. I've heard you speak. I know there's wisdom in your word. Please guide me, direct me by your truth. Remember, this word, it illumines our feet and our path. This is a powerful word that God has given. And praise the Lord, God is there and he is not silent. He's speaking. As your pastor, I want to encourage you, have a heart that wants to hear what God has to say. Then unite it with faith and obedience and go and experience his blessings that he has for you. Well, let me encourage you to pray with me, if you will. Listen, if there's anyone out there that has a special need, don't hesitate to call your deacon or let us know so that we can minister. Hopefully this will melt soon and we'll be on our normal routines. And when we do, may it be that we're opening the word to hear God speak and guide us throughout the day. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you that you're there and you're not silent. Forgive us, Lord, when we act like you're not speaking. Lord, when we're not tuned in, we're so busy that we don't pause to look up into the dark sky at night and just consider, Lord, that handiwork which is speaking to us. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't pause to open your special revelation to us in this canon right here. The scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, Lord, when we don't take time to hear you speak, forgive us, Lord. It's this word that we need. Lord, I remember your disciples, when many were leaving you, you asked them, are you going to go away also? And they said, where can we go? You have the words of life. God, let us have that disposition as your disciples, those who follow you. We want to hear you speak to us, Lord. We want you to speak life. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.